You go on holiday, you come back with caravan stories. Jean, switch off for a few minutes. This is going to get boring. Came to the last site on our holiday. Got there, we got set up. Every time we seemed to move between caravan sites, it poured with rain. Got on this site, it was smaller than the other ones we'd been on, and a bit bumpy and trying to get in. There was apple trees everywhere. In fact, one of the times we came back to the caravan, the apples had fallen off the trees and taken out a couple of poles in my brother's awning. It was great, so we all moved our cars so the cars weren't underneath the apple trees. But as we were sitting in our awning and had our meal, this elderly couple came in behind us, English. They seemed to have difficulty levelling the van. It was quite an uneven sight. As I say, they might have been in their late 60s, early 70s, and we watched them sort of struggling back and forward to level the van. Now, they had a mover. Movers are great things, Brian, aren't they? They get you out of all sorts of difficulties and so on. But this is, it powers a wheel. You don't even have to push it. You get a remote control and the caravan moves all by itself. They're great. And he moved back and forward and he got another bit of plywood and shoved it underneath the wheel and got a different one and put the different levels. And we watched them for some time and I thought I would go out and offer some help. You see, we'd call them Derek and Mavis. If anybody knows my parents, that's who they are, Derek and Mavis. And we just shuddered. Is this what it's like for them when they go on the site, this back and forward? And they weren't arguing. They were bickering a bit. And they were sort of just finding it a wee bit tough. And I thought, good Christian minister as I am, I'll go and help. And I came out of the awning and I walked over. Could I be of any assistance, I said. And the gentleman turned around and went, no. We're all right. We'd made wee stories up about them. We reckoned he was a retired Anglican clergyman. His wife may be a retired primary school teacher and stuff. And they went back and forth. And so we went back in and we watched them sort it out for themselves. Next morning they moved off the site and it was the same sort of debacle. They had a bit of hassle. I think they moved the car, forgot to put the handbrake on. Somebody had to run down the hill and put it on and stuff. They didn't need help. They were all right on their own. You see, do we shrug off help? Even when we know it's needed. As I said to the children earlier on, it suddenly struck me, coming out of the car, you know, lifting the boxes out, the laptop, the coat. Let me send to Amy, give your dad a hand. No, I'm all right. There's a lot of stuff to carry in. It's always handy to have an extra pair of hands. See, sometimes people are willing to help. Sometimes people are willing to fulfill what we've read about and sharing and carrying each other's burdens. But we say no. Other times, we're desperate for help. The load's too heavy to carry alone. And there's nobody there for us. Didn't move. Paul is writing to the church. He says to them, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. He's just come through this grave letter to the church. He's telling them all about the difficulties. There's a real struggle going on in the church. Real struggle going on in the difficulties with how they are interacting with one another. The Jews are wanting the Gentiles to take on this extra burden of the law. He tells them it's not about that anymore. It's about walking. Walking in the Spirit. It's about seeing the fruit of the Spirit develop in your lives. He's telling them about what it is to be free in Christ. To walk in the Spirit. To fulfill the law of Christ. Not the law of Moses. The law of Christ. To love one another. You see, and twice during these passages, Paul expresses our faith is to be an action, it's to be demonstrative. We're meant to share with one another. Galatians 5 and verse 6, he says, when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, it makes no difference to God whether we are circumcised or not circumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Faith being demonstrated in love, showing it to one another. Again, in verse 13 he writes, for you have been called to live in freedom. Not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love. It's a point that he's making. It's what we're called to. Last week we looked at the idea of intimacy with God, of being involved in that conversation with him, of having that relationship with him, of being able to talk things through. But we also have to have an intimacy with each other. To reach out, to stoop down to somebody who is in need. See, it's this attitude of service to one another. We see ourselves as we truly are. We're released from the burden. Released from that burden of thinking of ourselves in a particular way. Released from the burden of not worrying about what others think about us. Not worrying about trying to be ahead of the pack. Not trying to strive for greatness and so on. We're free from the conviction of pride and arrogance. We don't look down our nose at others. We don't think of ourselves in that light that we're, if they're struggling, what sort of Christians are they? We're not struggling, we're fine. We don't envy them for their spirituality. We see somebody who is being blessed by God, and if only I was like him, if only, and we try to be something that we're not. We don't say, I'm glad I'm not like them, or I wish I was like him. See, God fills us with his Holy Spirit. We grow in him, and that impacts the whole of our lives. A number of years ago, I used to watch that television program, Cheers. It's probably not a respectable program for an up-and-coming clergyman to watch. It's all set in a bar. But the theme tune, the lyrics of the theme song does that, where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to go where people know people are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. It was interesting that the two interns talked about wanting to know the people here better. Sort of smiled. David's hoping to do it in a year. Holly's admitted in 18 years she hasn't been able to do it. What happens if you're here 20 years, 30 years, longer? Do you know everybody's name? You always glad they came? See, it talked about within this thing, this idea of community, this idea of being together, this idea of just accepting one another coming into the midst. Didn't matter what walk or background they came from, postmen, psychiatrists, didn't matter. They were together and they loved the fellowship. They shared in each other's highs and lows. Was a closeness, a bonding. See, Paul starts this practical message with the illustration. He says, beware. Help those who have fallen. Restore them gently. Brings us back to that great leveler. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinful human flesh. We can all fall, we can all be tempted, we can all slip. And he reminds them that those who are mature, those who are spiritual, are to restore them gently. But sometimes that's hard. Our heart's not in the right place. Sometimes we don't want to get associated with the problems. I was listening on the way up this whole debate about Andy Coulson and whether or not he knew that they were tapping phone calls. And the big thing seemed to be, how's that going to affect the Prime Minister? Coulson had been his press secretary or had been involved in that. So it was almost sort of guilty by association. If this happens here, well then, what other dirty tricks were going? And that's the difficulty. Dirt sticks. You go to help somebody who has fallen to restore them. And all of a sudden you're being brought in, you're being associated with the difficulties, you're being, what sort of person are you? And people are very quick to turn and look and to bring you into that whole thing. And so you say, well, hold on, I better just watch myself. I better just step back. I better just stay out of the equation. But Paul makes it very clear. He says, carry each other's burdens. Share them. But he just doesn't say, if you feel like it, if you've got the time, if it's something that you might like to do, it's a command. He makes it abundantly clear. You are to do this. It's not like the insurance that you can get in Argus. You go into Argus now, you buy anything. They offer you insurance against it failing. What's always good is you go into a shop and you buy something electrical and they start to talk to you about insurance, and if it breaks down, you say, is it going to break down? Is this not a good machine? Should I spend my money else? It's not an optional extra, folks. It's a command, a direction to us, that this is what we are called to do. There are many of these commands within Scripture. Words of Jesus, which tells us we are to love one another in the same way that I have loved you. Paul says we are to serve one another. We are to encourage one another. It's part of the Christian DNA. It's part of who we are in Christ. It's part of what we are called to do as a fellowship. When you look at congregations, when I was looking at different churches and stuff and trying to find out a wee bit about them, you go to these books that the Presbyterian Church bring out each year. Gives you statistics about the number of families, number of people of all ages. It starts to come down to the number who are in worship, the number who attend communion at least once on the communion roll. You just watch as that figure tapers off. Challenge is, what does membership of this congregation mean to you? What do you understand by being a part of this fellowship? What do you understand by being here in this place? Our vision statement is very clear. It says, as a part of God's family, we declare it on the very opening statement. We exist. But as part of God's family, we are in this together. To love and to share, to be a part of each other's lives. You see, to restore gently to is a costly. It involves a trust and commitment. It involves being here together. Over the last while, we've been trying something different. We've been trying to do Sunday services running the same theme morning and night. When you stand up here on a Sunday morning, you look out and you see just the fact that you can't get any more in. And we're hoping to reach out and outreach to others and bring more people in. The idea was that we would try and do the same over two services. People could choose, morning or evening. May like to get up early in the day and then go out with the family and spend family time. Maybe Sunday morning's the only morning you get for a lie-in, so you come out at night. But the thing is, we have the same services. We do the same sort of thing. We preach the same sermon. We read the same passage. We sing songs. We pray. We do all those things, and yet they feel different. In the evening service, there is much more time for people to sit about and to chat. It was great even this morning, the noise at the start of the service. Brian couldn't even make himself heard. There was so much going on. And I know that's difficult for some people, but people are finding out what happened last, from they saw them last week, and sharing in each other's lives. But we want more and more of that. To have a depth to our relationship. You see, because sometimes the burdens of our lives are too much to handle alone. They are too much of a struggle. So what we were saying with the young folk, each had a box. One was slightly bigger than the other, but one was empty and one was packed full of weight. Sometimes we just see it that we each have a box, not realizing the difficulty and the depth of the need that the people have. So we are to share, and we see that in the example of Christ. When he spoke to Thomas, he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Put out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas was despondent. He had disappeared. He was out of the loop. He was away doing his own thing. And yet Jesus gives him an opportunity. Thomas needed the proof of the physical evidence. Jesus could have said, I've told the others, I don't need to show you. Stop doubting, believe. Yet he gently came to him and gave him that opportunity. Peter had gone back. He was fishing. Jesus comes to the shore, and after having the breakfast together, he said to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? He could have shouted about the betrayal. Peter says, I told you we're going to do it. You see, I was right. I was proved right. You were wrong. You said you were going to stand up. You weren't much of a follower of me. Still hard for Peter to do it. And yet, Jesus came alongside him, shared in the burden that he carried. Useless thing many years ago, that little children's chorus, you in your small corner and I in mine. Now, I understand the concept behind it. I can reason some of the arguments for it, that wherever you are, you share your faith. Wherever you are, your work, your school, your university, you shine your light for Jesus. But it highlights a problem we have with faith. Yes, it's important about our walk. It's important how we run the race. It's important what we do that counts. But it becomes very personal. We do it all in splendid isolation. If I fall or stand on my own merits, my own faith, my own beliefs. And that's important because Paul talks and he talks of this idea of personal responsibility. Galatians 6, 4 and 5, each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, but everyone should carry their own load. See, in verse 1 he said the same, watch out in case you fall into the same temptation. Watch out that you allow pride into your lives, that as you're helping others, you suddenly feel an air of superiority about it. That if it wasn't for you, that they would still be in their mess. See, even that word pride, you have to think about it. What we take pride in ourselves, we are satisfied with a job well done. And yet what is that job to do? It's to share each other's burdens, it is to be a part and to share in the lives. Ultimately it is that the name of Jesus is glorified. That his mercy and forgiveness and his grace and his love knows no bounds. See, Paul warns us of this idea of a comparison test. Remember seeing it on advertisements in America. You put it on, you know, if you want to buy this pickup truck's much better than that pickup truck. They'll tell you the 6 reasons why it is. Same sort of idea has come to our screens here. Tesco's, Asda, Sainsbury's. Who does the cheapest shopping? Depends on which advert you watch. Our products, there's a million more products in our shop cheaper than this. But by how much? Penny? And what about the ones that you have that are dear? See, actually, when you go and you shop, and depend which shop, it really doesn't make much difference. But you see, sometimes that we compare ourselves with others. Paul reminds us that we are not to have pride in ourselves. We are to remind ourselves that it is all because of God's grace. Our walk, our personal responsibility is important. You see, there's two things in personal responsibility. It's our walk and our attitude. 2 Peter, we read that we are to be more eager to make our own calling and election sure. Our walk is to be important. Hebrews 12, we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the beginning of our faith. He is the one that improves us. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's what he was writing about in Galatians 5. As we grow in faith, as we grow and allow Jesus to take more of a hold in our lives. Philippians 2, we're reminded that Jesus took upon himself the nature of a servant so that God can work in us, demonstrates it for our ability. But why do we think we have to carry it all? 102 shopping days, is it, to Christmas? Something like that. And what will happen? We'll all go out and we'll go around the shops. Husband, wives, you see the scene. Wives picking stuff. Husbands laden down with the bags. Libby and I would go out and I'll make sure I have all the bags. And after about 30 minutes, tips of your fingers are going white. And she'll say, give me some loose. Not at all, I'm all right. What is it? You fix your jaw like flint. But that's it. We take it on. Why do we think we have to do it all by ourselves? Scripture does say, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. Psalm 55 and 1 Peter 5, give all your worries and care to God, for he cares about what happens to you. We take our prayers, our petitions to God in prayer. We know he is the one who will provide for us, to care for us. But there's an old story told about a man who was caught up in a flood, got onto the roof of his house. And as he was up on the roof of the house, and he prayed to God, God, save me. A little while later, a man in a rowing boat came by. He says, jump in. It's all right. The Lord has it in hand. Motorboat goes by. Jump in. The Lord has it in hand. The helicopter comes overhead, throws down the rope ladder. Climb up and you'll be saved. The water's coming round him. The Lord has it in hand. An hour later, he prays, Lord, why have you neglected me? Why have you not saved me? God replies, the boats and the helicopter are not enough. See, sometimes God uses other people, the human friendship that we have for one another, as a way of outworking his plan for our lives. But you see, it's sometimes hard for us to admit to others that we're in trouble. And yet the reality of the situation, the prayer and the wishes of the interns, of knowing each other better, would not be wonderful for all of us to have that same admission this morning? That we would know each other better? I can stand up here each week. John's up here, or Michael's up here, and we look out among the sea of faces. I can read the words. I can't see the faces anymore unless I put the glasses on. But we don't always know who is missing. But we are creatures of habit. We tend to sit in the same pew week after week. So if we do, and we're sitting beside each other, if somebody's missing a couple of weeks, can we share that? Can we find out what's happening? Can we ask questions? I can think in my life of godly men that God put across my path who were there to encourage me, to share their lives with, to challenge me when things were going wrong. We need each other. See, we have personal responsibility. We need to be aware of our walk in humility, but finally, we have mutual accountability. The early church, read it in Acts 2, they met together. It was for the common good. They enjoyed fellowship with one another. They shared what they had with one another. So we have friendship. True friendship is a fellowship and sharing in the lives of others. It goes back to that simple command of Jesus. Love one another. We all have different needs. But we come and we share. You in your small corner and I in mine misses that concept of togetherness. Indicates a separation. When yet we should be rubbing shoulders with one another. We see it in God himself. The fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We read about it in John 17. The prayer of Jesus. I pray that they will be one just as you and I were one. At our wedding, we had wee mottos on our stationery. Each for each other. Both for God. Wouldn't that be good this morning? Each for the other. All for God. Of sharing in each other's lives. But Carmony is a big place. Sometimes it is difficult. Even on a Sunday evening, we share sometimes. Jean talked about at the end of the intercessor prayer. That's why we do it. That we can share and carry and lift each other's burdens. To be a part of it. It's why we offer prayer ministry. It's why we encourage people to come. And you should have no fear of that. You should have no worry. It is not about what others may think, because it's all about who you are in Christ. If we see people going to the for prayer ministry, our thought should be, Lord, bless them. Lord, meet them at the point of their need. Lord, be there with them. We have all sorts of opportunities. You just need to look at the order of service, the bulletin, which tells you about the different things. We have the lunch club, friendship hour, bowling club, the PW, all different groups which gather together, all different groups that we can share in fellowship. But we don't come as a true family in them. Sometimes they're age specific. Gender specific. Fellas, you might want to go to the PW, I don't know. I would imagine you'll get a warm welcome. But that was one of the driving forces behind why we looked at pastorates. One of the driving forces why we looked to try and get them all age, all genders. That actually that folk could come and share in the lives of others. A safe place where you can open up. A safe place where you can share. Be encouraged. An opportunity for older folk to mentor the young. It might be by age, it might be by your spiritual walk. Some of the younger folk might be along the road in front of you. But an opportunity for you to talk and to say how God has moved in your life and what he has done for you. To encourage those who are coming behind, to pass on what you know, to share and to have an interaction with one another. For the younger folk to tell you what the difficulties that they're facing today and how that maybe is different from times past. But an opportunity to come and to carry each other's burdens. John talked last week, put a challenge out to you about prayer and I-56 and signing up for a spot. Commit to a year of an hourly spot. I leave Carmonion, I suppose, with a slight heavy heart when it comes to pastorates. We see how they have moved. We see the leaders committed to this work, the discipleship group committed to this work, and yet our hearts go out to those who are not still coming. And I appreciate and I know the stories, and I've heard the comments that people don't always like to go to homes. But would you try it? We put up on the screens last week the faces of the leaders spread throughout. It would be great in a few months' time for me to speak to Beryl and say, Beryl, how's it going? For her to say, we are inundated with folk coming to share deeply with one another, to carry each other's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Will you think about it? You sign up, give it a go. Open yourself so that God may move in your heart and bring you into a deep walk with Him.